Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the March 16th regular meeting of the Marysville Exempt Village Board of Education. Call to order, please.
Mr. Ferguson.
Present.
Mr. Keck.
Here.
Ms. Savage.
Here.
Mr. Smith.
Here.
And Ms. Devine is absent.
Next, if everyone would stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I would now accept a motion to accept tonight's agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Ferguson.
Yes.
Mr. Keck.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Ms. Savage.
Yes.
And so that is accepted. Now I'd like to move to the presentation of student state qualifiers and special recognition. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Sorry, no motion needed for that.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to have to keep on top of me tonight. I'm sorry. Okay, Diane?
So tonight we have two groups that are being recognized, the band and as well as cross-country team for their outstanding efforts in the fall season and participation. We are going to do things a little bit different this evening. If board members would not mind going down into the front of the stage, we will have the director or coach be at the lectern and introduce the students, and they'll come down in front and shake your hands, and then we'll do a picture at the end of that time. Does that work for everyone?
Yep.
Perfect. Do you want to start with cross country, Luke?
Okay, good evening. We're excited tonight to recognize some of our cross-country team who could make it tonight and join us. We came straight from track practice, so here we are. I'll try and keep this brief, but at the same time, give the proper recognition to these student-athletes. Our fall cross-country season was a historic one in many ways. We'll start with Keaton. So freshman Keaton Sanford qualified individually for the Division I state cross country meet. And he's the second qualifier in the Division I era, okay, to put things in perspective. And the first freshman boy to toe the line with Marysville on his jersey in 40 years. So we're really excited for him. And for the whole team, he helped lead the boys to the regional meet for their first trip there since 2006. And there's a bright future for the boys cross country team, and we're really excited about that. The Lady Monarchs made a lot of history this fall, and some of them were able to make it tonight for the board meeting for this recognition. For the first time since 1995, and for the second time ever, the girls qualified for the state championships as a team. Okay, in the Division I competitive level, that's no small feat. And the girls also won by 2 points, which in cross country is super, really, really, really close, a district title. It's a very exciting fall, and to watch this team gel and bond together and accomplish big things. We get a front seat to that day in and day out, and it's fun to celebrate that. So we have Lila Channel, Bailey Gross, Kylie Andrews, Ava Elliott, Mallory Huffman's at Show Choir, and Brennan Emerson are working tonight. And we have a couple other team members and members of the coaching staff, Aaron and Coach Howard and Coach Plum here tonight too. Thank you and go Monarchs.
All right, Mr. Fannin.
There we go. Thank you. Good evening. Going into this year was a very exciting challenge that I knew I had ahead of me. I'm going to go ahead and have the band members that are here go ahead and stand up for recognition, and then we'll come down and get a picture. So a lot of them are still involved in different activities that are going on with choir and show choir and everything else. But these are obviously some of the band members that participated and were so accepting of me as being coming in as their new director this year. I can't say enough about each and every person. And so what I want to say is starting out in July, on July 4th, that was kind of the first time for me to meet a lot of these students with the 4th of July parade, and that was a pleasure getting to know them. And then we jumped right in on July 5th with a officer leader training that we worked through, and then new members started on July 6th. So kind of got thrown right into things, and they were so accepting of the way that I ran things a little differently from what a lot of them had been used to and filling in big shoes. But we went right along with it, and we ran, and they stayed up to the task. And we knew that there was a long tradition of several years in a row of receiving superior ratings at the state marching band contest. And that was, you know, my expectation for this year as well. And starting with our first contest in October, we were jumping right in on things, and we ended with a superior rating. So that was a big step out of the way that I was able to get through. They did very well at that contest, and we knew there were things to continue working on. As you're preparing for a state competition, once you qualify, you still have a lot of work ahead of you, and they knew that, and I knew that. And so we continued throughout the year with, throughout the fall, with learning and refining everything. And I'm happy to say we ended the state contest with straight superior ratings in every category. So that was a huge accomplishment for the group. It's not always that way, but maybe the seventh or eighth time that we have ended the season with straight superior ratings. So these are all of the fall marching band members, and we can give them a round of applause. Thank you. So members, if you want to come on down and stand up in the front, I have certificates and everything that we'll be passing out either before you leave or when I see you again tomorrow.
Congratulations to everyone here tonight. It's always great to celebrate our students in different ways, and especially things they're doing outside of the classroom as well. So we appreciate parents, you coming tonight. There's a reason why your kids are here, the great support system you provide as well. So thanks for attending too. Thank you.
I'd now like to accept a motion to approve the Employee of the Month.
So moved.
Second.
There's Diane.
It is my pleasure tonight to recognize Michelle whenever she gets up here. Hi, how are you? Welcome. If you don't know, I would be shocked if you don't know Michelle, but she is the head honcho in the cafeteria at Marysville High School, and we couldn't do what we do at the high school without her, that's for sure. So it's my pleasure tonight to read the statements that your peers said about you in order to get this award. And I always make you stand up here and feel uncomfortable, right? All right, Michelle goes above and beyond for the students, always making sure that they have the best breakfast or lunch. She always makes sure her coworkers are taken care of, even if it's on her personal, on a personal level. She is the most caring and understanding and just all-round great person. So congratulations. I couldn't agree more. That's for you, and that's for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well deserved.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes. And now we move on to public participation. We have one person signed up, Jim Reichart, is that right?
How's that? Okay. Good evening. My name is Jim Rickard, and this is my wife, Autumn. We're part of the home education community here in Marysville. We have four kids that are in the district that we are just want to express our excitement and about the policy that's being considered. I think you're having the first reading this evening for part-time enrollment. And so we wanted to offer up that if there's any questions about that policy, we're here to help answer any of those things. And anyway, we thank you in advance for this consideration.
Thank you very much for attending the meeting. And we have your contact information here, so I think we'll probably take it down. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is our presentation from Bunsold Middle School.
Good evening. Thanks so much for bringing me here this evening to have a conversation and talk a little bit about all the wonderful things that's happening this year at Bunsold Middle School. So what you're looking at, I think you have a copy of this in front of you, is that this year as we sat and thought about what is it that we wanted to focus on this coming school year, we stepped back and said, tried to do our best to make sure that all of the things that we wanted to focus on this year were in a direct alignment to the vision and direction that was outlined in the strategic direction. So this particular slide is looking at all of the five goals that we set back and collaboratively actually created together with our building leadership team. And as you can see, we have two goals for our future readiness. We have a literacy goal, we have a mathematics goal, and we also have a goal for wellness. And so I always talk about this, that although I'm super proud of where we're at right now in March, I would also say to you that we always have work to be done, and we're going to continue to power through until the end of this school year and then beyond to make sure that we reach our goals and then set new goals moving forward to continue to propel us in the next direction that we need to go for our students here, not just at Bunsold, but across our district. So our first future readiness goal that we decided to work towards this year was about how can we help prepare our middle school students to begin thinking about their future in terms of what's next for us when we leave Bunsold Middle School, what's next after that, and what's next after that. And so one of the things that we set out to do was to take a look at a way that we could help our learners begin to understand a little bit more about themselves. So in the fall of this year, we went out and we created an opportunity for them to participate in a U-Science online platform, I guess if you will, that measured aptitude and measured that and put it together with things that they were interested in. That being said, We spent a lot of time as our building leadership team to talk about what does that look like to create experiences for our students. So we administered that U-Science in the fall, and then we sat back and said, how can we create an opportunity for our kids to experience something different, and it looks different from our 7th grade learners and our 8th grade learners. So as a BLT, building leadership team, we decided that what we would like to do is we would like to think about for our 7th graders, how could we utilize the capacity of our students at the high school, at Marysville High School, and at the early college STEM high school that are currently involved in pathways that they've chosen. How could we leverage that and get those students that have selected those pathways and talk about their experiences in front of our kids as they think about, as 7th graders, what's next for me as an 8th grader, and what are some things that they can be thinking about in order to best prepare for their future. So we landed on, hopefully, and it's still in the planning process, basically a pathway fair where we've got a date scheduled in May that we hope to bring students in from both Marysville High School and the early college STEM high school to speak in front of our 7th grade students, talk about their experiences in their pathways, and talk a little bit about their experiences as some of them have gone out and participated in internships, just to kind of get their minds thinking about what's next. What's next for me, and what kinds of things am I interested in? It was also important for us that our experience for our 8th grade students was different than our experience for our 7th grade students, just because they were in a different space in terms of where they're at developmentally. Again, still in the planning phases. Pre-pandemic, we did a career day, if you will. We did one full day. We brought folks in from the community to talk a little bit about what their experience is are within their current professions, jobs, workforce. We learned a lot from that, and then the pandemic hit, and we got away from that. But what we learned is that a full day of that for our 8th graders was too long. So we determined this year, our building leadership team says, what if we take a look at it from a different angle? What if we take a look at the data that we have from U-Science and pair that with students' interests and aptitudes, and then start bringing folks in from the community in the workforce to specifically speak to those students in those different career clusters. Our plan, and again plan, is to kind of pilot that a little bit in May of this year by trying to do that in a mini session, with the idea that moving forward next year, we would expand that and try to offer what I would call mini career days each month. So instead of all in one sitting, be able to spread them out so that kids have an opportunity to experience a lot of different options for them. Again, I wish I could tell you we're further in that process, but we're not. We're still planning. I'm grateful that the building leadership team is part of this process. I couldn't tackle that. It's a large endeavor alone, and they have been super supportive as we try to move this forward. So I'll tell you to stay tuned. There's more to come as we continue to work through that process. The second of our future readiness goals was about service learning. And it was probably twofold, but most importantly, we wanted our students to be able to understand the importance of being able to give back to their community, to be able to serve in ways that they can support everything else that's going on in our own community. So when we started down that pathway, we started to think about what does that mean? So we started out by guiding our students about what is service learning, giving them a little bit of education about that. And then we took and asked teachers to facilitate student ideas about ways in which they could then think about how they could give back to the community. I've listed several items up there. I'm not going to read those to you. I have some of the service learning projects that the students have come up with. But one of the things that I think is super important to mention is that what we wanted them to focus on is giving of their time and their service, to actually give themselves to an organization or to help and support. So a variety of different times that has happened throughout the course of the year. So we challenged them to do A, service learning project first semester, and A, service learning project second semester. Sometimes it was groups of kids, full academic teams, and you're looking at some photos up there. I wanted to embed that in there of some of the different things that we've done just to add a little bit of character to the slide deck and not just have all words. I am super, super excited. I'm super excited with our students in the way that they have embraced really the joy that they have by knowing that they're serving. It changes them. And I think that helped us across the board. That was one of our goals, to help them understand that it feels really good when you're able to do something good for someone else. And so that's kind of the focus that we landed. I anticipate this to be something that we will continue years to come in how we can give back to the community. These are just a few more pictures of some of the things that we've done in trying to give back to our own community. Next goal for us was our literacy goal. Our goal for literacy was to take a look at our student data that we have had in the past, take a look at current student data, to analyze it, and then to respond to that data to meet individual learner needs. That was important to us, and so in the response of that, though, it just doesn't stop by responding. You have to respond, and then you have to monitor. To know that if what you're responding and the way in which you're responding is working. So through our MTSS teams and our protocols, we began looking at where did we need to focus when it came to literacy and what kinds of things were we going to put in place in order to help us reach that literacy goal. So I mentioned that we had the five building goals. One of the things that was important to me is to also ask my department chairs to lead their departments and develop their own department goals that were in alignment also to our building goals, the strategic direction as well. So after reviewing our state assessment data from a year ago, my language arts team determined both in 7th and 8th grade that we really needed to set our goal and focus a little bit on writing. Not that we hadn't focused on writing before, but in looking and reviewing that data, what we learned was is that many of our students were not receiving as many points possible as they could in order to do well on that writing portion of the Ohio State test. So their goal, it's a simple goal, but it makes sense. And I think where they landed on that is they wanted to give their students confidence in their ability to write. And so a way in which they did that is to set a goal and then to mirror, I guess, if you will, being able to write through timed writing. You read a prompt, you write, you have a time, very similarly to, and then each student after the first timed writing assessment, they set their own personal goals. And so kids are tracking their goals along the way. And it has been, the report back from both of my language arts department chairs is kids are increasing the number of words they're writing. They're increasing the number of paragraphs they're writing. They're starting paragraphs with beginning and, you know, beginning statements and then ending statements, conclusion statements, and they're seeing, I don't have the data in front of me tonight, but they're seeing a huge increase. And I think part of that is just, and they would say the same thing, kids are becoming more confident writers. And so, again, I appreciate that they aligned it to that and they looked at data to drive that decision. So that was important to us. And then some other things we've done around the literacy goal is we've increased Tier 2 support. Tier 2 support is providing additional intervention supports for learners who do not necessarily qualify under students with disabilities, but are struggling readers, struggling writers, and to be able to, outside of the classroom instruction, during the class period, also to add additional intervention supports and put those in place as well. And then the last thing in that that I want to talk a little bit is about, I guess there's two more, our disciplinary literacy focus. So this year, we were able to, as part of a grant that not just Bunsold received, but 712 received, create our first disciplinary literacy cohort. The members of our disciplinary literacy cohort are our current department chairs, with the idea that our department chairs will learn and grow and understand the strategies involved with disciplinary literacy, take that back to their departments, and allow the ripple effect to happen in order to reach more. So the first graph that you're looking at in there indicates the number of disciplinary literacy strategies through our building walkthroughs that we have seen this year. It's probably hard to read the numbers, but the light blue bar is our non-members of the cohort. The dark blue bar are our members of our cohort. So to date, at the time I pulled this data today, we've observed 145 disciplinary literacy strategies with our current cohort group, and we've also observed 119 different disciplinary literacies. And when I say different, there aren't 119 different ones, and they're not 145 different ones. It's just that when we walk into the classroom, each time we walk in, we are seeing those strategies actually being implemented into the classroom and into the instruction, which I think is very powerful. And then the last item on that is a little bit about where we are at from Diagnostic 1 to Diagnostic 2. Again, it's difficult to read the slide. And the reason I wanted to show that to you tonight is to indicate that we have made significant strides from Diagnostic 1, which was given at the beginning of the year, to Diagnostic 2 in Language Arts. And that diagnostic assessment was given at the end of January. If you look at that, the green bar with the lines through it, that is the percentage of students that we jump from Diagnostic 1 to Diagnostic 2 who are midway through or above grade level as of January 31st. So we're definitely moving in the right direction, which is a good way to measure what's happening. Again, I mentioned earlier, does it mean we're through? No, it never means we're through. We're going to continue to do, you know, to go that direction. But what it does show us is it shows that the efforts that we've put in thus far are indeed making a difference. And it's showing in our student data. Our mathematics goal was the same, essentially, as our ELA goal, our language arts goal. But our department chairs tackled that a little bit different. There we go. So seventh grade department determined that they wanted their goal to be just simply looking at the diagnostic data from Diagnostic 1 to 2, and then to make personalized intervention groups to support individual learner needs during the time that they had them outside of the classroom instruction and in the instructional period as well. Our eighth grade mathematics department decided to go a different strategy, so it would be interesting to see. And I gave all of the department chairs complete autonomy. I want you to look at your data. I want you to look at what goals need to be. You know your students. I wanted to give them autonomy to set the goals that made the most amount of sense and ask that they continue to report, monitor back to me so that we know our what's being put in place working. So our eighth grade math department challenged me. There is a blended learning platform that is called ALEKS, and ALEKS builds skills, mathematics skills, so repetitive skills. And each student is placed on wherever they're at on their own, if you will, learning path. This is in addition to outside of what's happening in the classroom, the teaching of the standards, the mastering of the standards. And they challenged me and they said, Mrs. Koffenbarger, We'd like to have an incentive program for our kids. And what we'd like to do is, if kids move levels in ALEKS, we would like those kids to be able to have their name placed into a raffle. But Mrs. Koffenbarger, it's going to cost you some money up front. So the idea was, is that would I be willing to provide financial resources to kids being drawn out of that raffle at the end of the year by the number of times that they've been in there to draw three winners, I guess, if you will, to have a pretty big ticket, I guess, if you will, prize. And the kids, the eighth grade students, actually got to vote on what they wanted to be on there. And they get to choose from a collection of, one of them was, I think, a Nintendo Switch and AirPods and an iPad. And so some pretty high dollar items. And I agreed to it. And the kids have made it a competition, and more students are completing those ALEKS lessons because they're driven to, knowing that there is an incentive. And all I did was give the charge to my department chair. I said, here's the thing. If you want to sustain this and continue this, then I need to make sure that on the end that we are definitely seeing huge gains, if you will, in whether or not it's impactful for kids. And kids love it. So far, we're going in the right direction. Then also, not only is disciplinary literacy just in language arts, but it's across all the disciplines. And then the slide that you see down there is also to showing the increase in what has happened at Bunsell this year from Diagnostic 1 to Diagnostic 2 as a result of the different strategies and practices that we've put in place this year. Our last goal is our wellness goal. Not only is it important that we look at our building as a whole when it comes to academics, talked about service, talked about future readiness, it's also important that they feel a part of our school community. And I think when the building leadership team and myself and assistant principal got together this past summer, we decided what was it that was important to us. And making our kids feel, or helping our kids to feel, a part of, accepted, belonging is critically important. I'm very passionate about middle school kids. Middle school is a rough time. If we all think about what it was like in middle school, it's transitioning. We're independent, we're dependent, we want to be adults, but we still need that guidance. And trying to figure out who they are with their peers, who they are in just the world around them. And so it was really important that they felt that sense of connectedness and belonging. So this is one thing that we put in place this year, and it's Monday is club day. So we have a 30-minute period embedded in the middle of the day. We call it Camp Out, and Camp Out is after our logo brand that we have. And students every Monday get to participate in a club, and it's a club that they choose. And it's not limited by kids that are just in their class. So all of my eighth grade kids, students, and all of my seventh grade students, not together, but separate by grade level, just because scheduling doesn't allow that to happen, get to mix with peers that they might not otherwise see throughout the course of the day. We've gotten feedback from our students about Club Day. They love Club Day. It's been a bit of a challenge for my teachers, for attendance, if you will, on Club Day, because they're not really assigned. It's just we have our own system to determine where they're at and take attendance. The clubs were generated from kids. They had a chance to fill out a survey. They filled out the survey. Based upon the outcome of that, we grabbed, based upon our human capital and what we could offer to our students, we then chose clubs and then had them go back and sign up for which ones that they wanted to participate in. One measure that we use in order to measure that is this sense of school membership. So we measured in the fall, shortly after this, we got started in the school year. How do our students feel about a sense of belonging? Are we accomplishing what we want to accomplish? So the graph shows that about 80% of our students feel a sense of belonging, feel acceptance, feel a sense of connectedness to Bunsold in the school community. We'll go ahead and administer that again in the spring. Our kids, if we pay attention and we listen, our kids are telling us and guiding us and teaching and helping me learn to be a better principal what they need in order to best support them, especially in this particular area, how they can feel connected to the school community. And the last thing that we wanted to expand upon is how can we celebrate all the amazing things that our kids are doing here? So BMS Pridewell has been around for a long time. This photo of all these, each team wanted their own identity. Their students designed these palls, and the palls are in the hallways by each of the academic teams, and each of them are unique and different, and students got to participate at. And then we brought back Mighty Monarchs. Mighty Monarchs was around, and then it just kind of, we just stopped doing it, and I don't know why we stopped doing it. Building leadership team was very passionate about bringing it back. So each month, each academic team chooses four students to be selected to represent as a Mighty Monarch. And some of the things that we focus on are listed there: responsibility, citizenship, respect, caring, trustworthiness, all of the soft skills, and just being good people. And so that's a little bit about what's going on at Bunsold Middle School this year. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you. I'm very proud of where we're at, and we'll keep continuing to move forward and continuing to work hard because our kids are worth it. Do you have any questions for me?
Thank you, Michelle, for the wonderful presentation. Any questions or comments?
Michelle, I was sitting here listening to you, and there were a couple of things that went through my mind. First is that just as you have been given responsibility and kind of hands-off responsibility for this building, you've in turn done that for the teachers in this district and allowed them to decide what was best for the kids that they're working with because they're the closest ones to them. And I really think that that helps to illustrate the personalization that takes place in this district. Decisions are made in the buildings by the teachers and the administrators, and it's wonderful to see that. I really appreciate the focus on career information and service to others. I think those are absolutely amazing. And one of the things that I've been telling some of our state legislators is that trying to make a change by changing the top of the educational pyramid is not an effective way to improve what goes on in education in Ohio. If we're going to change education, it has to change in the classroom, and that's what this district has been working on for the last 7 or 8 years, and you and this building are a great example of that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really liked your career readiness. I don't know why we haven't been doing that for the last 100 years, but we've really dropped the ball on that, and we're starting to see a lot of careers that we just can't fill. And, you know, when they get to high school, sometimes it's too late to start thinking about that. And, you know, I remember as a classroom teacher, people wanting to come and talk to my seniors, I said, forget the seniors. Because they've already made a decision. You need to start with the freshmen and work your way up. And as you can see, we need to be starting with the junior high, and that's awesome. If there's any way we can help, let me or somebody up here know on that.
I sure will. I'll be tapping all of you just to get ideas of folks from from the community that will, you know, in particular workforce and jobs that will help us out and get, you know, adults, people in front of our kids. So thank you.
Thank you, Michelle, for your presentation today. I do have a couple questions. The sense of school membership, mm-hmm. what I saw the graph, but I'm not, maybe I wasn't comprehending. How is that measured? Like, what are the metrics for the sense of school?
That's a great question. So it's there's about, I'm going to say 20-ish or so questions that students go in and they answer those questions. Questions like, I feel like I'm part of my school. Or people at my school notice when I do something good. And kids responded to that, and then that's where that data was collected from. I didn't list them all. I do have them in my notes, but,
no,
you know.
Thank you. That helps me under.
Sure.
I assumed it was something like that. I just wanted to ask.
Yep.
And then can you share, like, an example of, like, a disciplinary literacy method? I know there's 140. Like, can you paint a picture?
Yep, I sure can. There's not that many different strategies, but I can share a few of you. So they're divided into focus areas. So an example of a focus area would be academic discourse. Another example would be academic language, vocabulary, discipline-specific comprehension strategies, multiple use of text. So they're in those, and within those buckets are a variety of different strategies, such as connecting signal words to text structure and argumentation, or use adapted sentence stems is an example, or create purpose with authentic inquiry and tasks. So there's a whole bunch of them embedded in that. Certainly, the number of them can be overwhelming, so we've just asked our folks to focus. So each one of the department chairs, and I didn't go into detail, but I can now since you've asked the question. Each one of our department chairs chose a specific focus on that first set of examples that I read to you. And then that became their focus and strategies within there. Because if they tried to go broad, then I would imagine it would be super overwhelming, with the idea then again to do the ripple, right? And let it grow on its own, you know, as they continue to add more and more strategies into that. The other thing that we've done is all of our professional development that we've done this year has been around disciplinary literacy. At some point in time, we're either using our department chair time to talk about disciplinary literacy, or we are actually utilizing and talking about and providing professional development in disciplinary literacy within our professional development. We're taking and utilizing our department chairs to actually provide that professional development to the rest of our staff. So it's building from within in our own expertise. So it's been pretty powerful so far. It's been fun to watch happen.
That's great to hear. And I like the is it U Science, that the platform you guys use to kind of measure the aptitude and passion. And if I think for the career readiness, I think as many hands-on opportunities that students can get, it's nice to hear a story, but if you can bring a plumber and, hey, let's do this kitchen sink, you know, install, it's, you know, that's going to be really how you figure out, am I good at this? Is this something I like to? And I hope that you find a lot of success there. And then with the service learning, I really, I seem like it's all about self in our culture. But really, when it comes to mental health and wellness, it's really about what's your purpose and how do you serve others. And people who focus on service seem to be in a better position when it comes to their own wellness. So I thank you for making that emphasis here, because I know in middle school that is a concern of not the self part, well, the self is probably too, but just the overall wellness of our students. And so giving that sense of purpose, that sense of service, can help them live healthier lifestyles. And so thank you for that emphasis.
Thank you. The best part of that for me has been able to sit back and watch the ideas be driven from the students. That was the fun part in terms of what will our service learning be. And sometimes we have to rein them in a little bit. Their idea is great, but then it goes from that to, like, grandiose. But it has been absolutely fun to watch our kids really, really embrace that. And the other part of it is that when I said earlier that our teachers were facilitators. They guided them. It was driven from the kids. So it's been fun to watch. I'm pretty sure that it will continue to be sustained year after year, I hope.
I agree what Jermaine said. I love the idea of individual areas of interest is what's driving the service project activity. And that sense of giving to the community helps you mentally feel good, I think is a very key thing that is missing in a lot of people today. I love the continuity between the pathway fair and the mini career fair with what you're doing at the middle school and then what we're seeing at the high school with internships and different career people coming in and speaking to different groups of students on a regular basis throughout the year. I love that continuity. Also, I appreciate the focus on writing because to be a good writer, takes practice over and over and over again. And I think social media has short-circuited how much people write. And I think it's important for students to do that. And it also builds that continuity with what they're doing at the fifth and sixth grade building with building vocabulary. So I appreciate those activities.
Thank you.
All right, I think we're going to move on to the Ohio High Point report. I think Steve is going to be sending a report to us via email later this this week. I think the next board meeting isn't till next week.
Recording stop.
Next up is the superintendent's report. Diane?
Thank you. I just have a couple things. First, since our last meeting, I talked a lot about our opportunity for March 2nd, State of the City. Now that seems like it was a really long time ago, but it really wasn't. But it was a great night of celebration for our community, I think, and really confirmed the importance of our youth as a part of our community. So I want to publicly thank Terry Emery and City Council for allowing us to host that event. I thought it was well attended and certainly a great representation of Marysville. Also, this evening we were able to honor fall activities. Our winter activities have been phenomenal. From girls basketball, girls and boys wrestling, swimming, FFA, Japanese Bowl, DECA, the list goes on and on. So we'll be celebrating those clubs and activities in the next few months. I wanted to provide a quick construction update. Plumbing rough ins are complete and wall frames are going up at Edgewood. Demo continues at Chestnut, although it's much further along at this point. There have been some issues with rating determinations that have held up a little bit of demolition at Chestnut. However, all of those have been resolved. So framing is now on site. Office spaces are spray painted on the floors, and we're starting to see some framing go up. So pretty exciting. Spring testing, ACT just wrapped up at the high school, and then just prior to spring break, statewide testing window opens, and then it wraps up that first week of May. I know the board members are visiting buildings after that window, so which will also be a very exciting time in our buildings as well. Quick enrollment update, we have 5,532 students currently enrolled. That's an increase of 122 students from this time last year. That's all I have this evening.
Thank you, Diane. Next up is Treasurer's Report with Todd.
I only have a brief update tonight. I just wanted to note that the fiscal year 22 audit has been fully completed. You should have received an email from the auditor with the audit documents. It was a completely clean audit, no audit reports, and not even any management letter reports, which I would say is somewhat rare. So they usually try to find something to nitpick, and there wasn't even that, so that was good news. That's it for me. Next month we'll have the five-year forecast update. So.
Okay. Next up is Board President's Report, and since Sue is not here, I'm going to attempt to fill her shoes. First thing, I want to talk about community coffees. We are hosting two community coffees a month, the one at McDonald's on Saturday mornings, and then the one at the library on Sunday afternoons. We've had a few people come in. They have a lot of questions. They've been a very good interaction. A lot of questions about the school levy and activities going on within the schools, but it's been a really good chance to interact with the public. Also, the Central Regional Conference was this past week, and I have some notes here. Bruce Daniels was the keynote speaker. Part of his message was the importance of business partnering with education to both support our kids and address the workforce challenges. Mr. Smith was recognized for 10 years of school board service, earning his OSBA Star Training Award and continuing of his master board membership status. In addition, I just wanted to remind everyone that March 23rd is our special meeting work session to discuss the next steps for our work plan and goals to recognize business partnerships and discuss consent agenda. If anyone has any additional topics that they would like to discuss, just give me a call. I'll go ahead and keep running that until Sue is back from her father's funeral. Next up is Student Achievement Award, or Student Achievement Report, and that's me. So I typically focus on some of the information coming from OSBA and what other districts around the state are doing. But there is so much going on in our district, I decided I'm going to focus on our district today. just celebration, and we spent a lot of time talking about what's going on at the elementary schools and some of the younger schools, but I want to point out that our Lady Monarchs basketball team had our first appearance in the regional final and finished the season 25-3, OCC champs, district champs, and have left a legacy to be proud of. The boys wrestling team won the OCC and sent 8 wrestlers to the state tournament. Lady Monarch wrestlers won a regional championships for the first time that wrestling was sanctioned as a sport by Ohio High School Athletic Association. I also think that the appropriate reference to the fact that March is Women's Empowerment Month and references the fact that the success of our girls helped gain momentum in efforts to make sure that OHSAA recognized and sanctioned it as an official sport in the state of Ohio. And finally, Marysville High School junior Sophia Stamm competed last week in the state diving championship and ended up 0.9 points away from becoming state championship. Her second place finish was remarkable. Okay. Next up is the legislative report.
Hopefully you've all received the legislative report. Jermaine and I are going to be attending the Ohio School Board Association Legislative Conference next week. We've got a lunch with Representative Richardson and a meeting later in the afternoon with Senator Reinicke. We'll be talking about House Bill 1 and House Bill 11 with them, as well as anything else that any of you might want to suggest. Senate Bill 1, which is one of several pieces of major legislation passed through the Senate and is headed to the House. I expect it'll probably get a favorable reception there. The bill was amended and OSBA and others were able to get language that helps the process for developing educational policy to include educators, parents, school districts, and school administrators. So we're glad to see that happen. House Bill 1 is very much in conversation. It's a priority bill. It is a law that would modify property taxation and income tax rates. A couple of key features is it establishes a flat rate on all incomes over $26,050. It decreases the percentage of appraised value on which property owners would pay taxes from 35% down to 31.5%. Our treasurer mentioned a couple of things in our last board meeting. I've gotten better educated on this, I think. Those changes are going to trigger a number of things that may not be very good. An example, and I've included some information, an example is that when millage gets rolled, or when values of property go up, millage is rolled down so that you pay the same amount of money. Well, the converse is true also. If the value rolls down, the millage rolls up so that the school districts collect the same amount of money that they were. So agricultural property owners, personal property owners, could see some, not necessarily any significant changes from their current situation. There are other features of this particular legislation that I'm not sure everyone's looked at all of the potential consequences. The income tax restructuring, going to a flat tax. I've given some examples of how it impacts various incomes. One observation that was made is that the flattening of the income tax structure benefits the wealthiest persons in Ohio far more than it benefits lower income. And I did some calculations. I double-checked them, but I'm not swearing by them. But to kind of give you an idea of how, at least on a percentage basis, people might be impacted on income tax. HB 11 is the backpack bill that has potential impacts across the state. There are some potential financial impacts, but I wanted to remind you as board members that public schools serve as the place where citizenship becomes a reality, where people of different faiths, different religions, different ethnicities, different cultures, different backgrounds, different financial circumstances, all come together and figure out how to work together in the school system setting. And I've given you a couple of articles to try to give you some information. One of the things that I like to remind our legislators is that back in 1787, the Northwest Ordinance states that education shall be forever encouraged. And the Land Ordinance of 1785 set aside land to be sold to support public schools. So The founding fathers knew the value of public education. There are several pieces of recent legislation that were introduced. The most important of those is HB 33, which is the budget bill from the governor. That bill will be set aside by the House of Representatives. They will create their own budget. They will send that to the Senate, which will set that one aside, and they will create their budget. And so I expect that sometime late June, a conference committee of 8 people, 10 people, something like that, are going to go in a room and try to hash out what the budget's going to be for the state of Ohio. Lots of comments are being made. Lots of things are on the table. It's going to be an interesting spring. Thank you.
If I could chime in real quick on one of your comments about that upcoming potential legislation regarding the income tax. So you made a good point that that legislation will most benefit, you know, our wealthiest taxpayers. But I'm hoping this is an unintended consequence. I don't think they would have looked at this legislation if they known what was going to happen. But what would be the impact is that you noted that House Bill 920 will come into play. So as those property values go down, effective millage will go up so that the revenue stays about the same. But where that does not come into play is the inside millage. Mm-hmm. So, House Bill 920 does not affect inside millage. So what that means is every single district in the state of Ohio will lose a significant amount of revenue because of that inside millage. Mm-hmm. So then when that happens, there's two options. You cut services or you pass a levy to make up the difference. Well, who's impacted the most by a passed school levy? It is our fixed income residents. So in essence, by looking at this bill to impact our wealthiest taxpayers, they're going to be hurting our most at need taxpayers.
Yeah, as I read about this and tried to digest the information, there just seems to be a tremendous number of unintended consequences, some situations where somebody may not have gone far enough in all of the impacts to really see what happens. And it's a massive change, I think that our legislators, sincerely hope that our legislators spent a lot of time looking at this, vetting it, and thinking seriously about what happens, because at least initially my impression is that it may not provide as much benefit as people think that it might. And so
next up on the agenda is approve the draft minutes of, I'm so sorry.
For the Safety and Drug Committee report, I don't have anything. I know next April 20th, the student leadership will come and give a presentation during this time at our next meeting. So nothing to report. I'll save that time for next month. Thank you.
My apologies, I was just getting ahead of myself. Next up on the agenda is to approve the draft minutes from last month's meeting. I would move to accept the draft minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussions or corrections or anything on the draft minutes that anyone would like to bring forward? If not, we'll have a roll call.
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes. Next up on the agenda is the motion to approve the resolution to affirm the expulsion decision, appeal decision.
So moved.
Second.
Uh, Any questions or comments? Can we have a roll call?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes. Next up on the agenda is the motion to approve the treasurer's items.
So moved.
Second.
So Todd?
I really don't have anything to add. It's just our usual items, but if there's any questions, happy to field those.
Can we have a roll call?
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes. Okay, next up on the agenda, the superintendent's items. Motion to approve all HR action items.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, do we have any comments, Diane?
No, it's pretty typical supplementals and hiring in this section. I'm fine if we want to split them up. Typically, we do all of the superintendent items. Do you want to do all the superintendent items at one time, or do you want to split them up?
I guess I just wanted to make a brief comment on the new policy, first read of the policy on the homeschooling enrollment.
That's fine.
So since we have guests here and also Jonathan's here, I want to acknowledge the work that—
Just one second. I think the motion was made for approval of HR items, so that would just be 12.1. If you want to do all superintendent items, that's why I only mentioned HR policy.
Okay. Well, let's just finish with the HR policy.
Okay, fine.
Okay. Sorry, this is my first time.
You're fine. You're fine.
Okay, can we have a roll call on the HR items?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes. And then on to the superintendent's motion to approve other superintendent action items, including policies.
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
Can I have a point of order? I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to approve 12.2, approval of volunteers first.
You're right, I skipped it.
And I can do a motion to approve 12.2, approval of volunteers.
So are we
going to
have three motions for these? Or is this a motion that covers all of the remaining three?
I think we're doing three motions because I broke them up accidentally.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. I thought we had to go in order. My apologies.
Okay, so we have a motion and second for that, right?
Yep.
Okay, so you have, under the other items, we have three policies. One is up for just approval, and that's to align our meetings, our notice with our practice from recommendation from OSBA. So that's just a one-time refinement. Then you have two policies related to a part-time enrollment for homeschool students. this has been a topic that was brought to the board, I think, 11 or 12 years ago when I first came. There was no interest at that time. It has been a topic that's come up through our community on different occasions. Jonathan has been working with some homeschool families to talk about classes that they're interested in taking and opportunities that schools could provide for homeschool families. So this policy represents kind of a combination of the policy group work as well as kind of that community outreach piece in discussion with families and interests. So before you, you have really one policy that launches the other policy, quite frankly. So really the some questions we're happy to entertain. Well, all questions we're happy to entertain, but some that I received this week were questions specifically around College Credit Plus. That would not be an allowable part of this policy. Homeschool families have the opportunity through a fund with Ohio Department of Education to take part in CCP already. But really, I think one of the number one requests we get are really around fifth grade when band starts and an interest to participate in that, or some upper level classes, maybe like a physics or an AP Chem or something along those lines that potentially the instructor for homeschooling doesn't feel comfortable with that content. So it would be an opportunity for students to engage in those types of courses.
Okay, and it's my understanding that we have roughly 166 homeschool students in our district that this policy would then be open to.
Correct. Roughly. That number can change year to year.
Okay. Yeah, one of the questions that I had that Jonathan was able to supply the answer was that students that we have on a part-time basis, we will receive part-time state funding for. So we'll get some money to cover some of the costs that are involved, so.
Correct, and I would just say that with some current legislation that appears to be active, we would just have to continue to see how that kind of turns out, I guess, and see if this policy would be to be revisited in the future, depending upon that.
All right, thank you. Now I'm gonna go back to the item that I skipped.
Well, we'll do a roll call.
Oh, I'm sorry.
12.3.
Okay.
Well, I just had one comment, sorry. Mm-hmm. I think it's great that residents approach the school board and the administration, and then there was study, you know, appropriate analysis of what we can do, and we are able to provide a policy that meets those needs. And so I think that's, I want to thank you all for having these conversations and really thinking about all students in our district and our community and how we can provide educational opportunities for them. So I think this is anytime you know, your government does work for the people. And I think just that's the message I want to emphasize with this is if it's appropriate, if it can be done, you know, always ask that question and see what that path looks like. So thank you very much for being involved in your students' lives and creating these opportunities for others. Thank you.
Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes. Now I'll return to 12.2 and motion to approve the volunteers for 2023 school year.
So moved.
Second.
Any comments? Nope. Roll call, please.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes. Okay, and now move on to 12.4, move to improve all superintendent items listed above.
We don't need to do that.
Okay, because I did. Okay, I'll do better next time, guys. Sorry. Now we move on to comments and questions for board members. Mr. Smith.
A couple of things. At the State of the City, the business department at the high school had this leaflet that they passed out. And it was, I think it's really impressive. In talking with Ms. Burns, she said that the course offerings and the pathways were created in collaboration with Columbus State, which I think is absolutely perfect. It's designed to try to meet the needs of some of the new and emerging industries and businesses in Central Ohio. So I applaud all the people that were involved in that effort. Board notes, read through them, and they were filled with all sorts of great information. I know it takes a lot of time for administrators to put all of that together for us, and I just want to thank them for doing that and really appreciate that. And Todd, that may be the cleanest audit we've ever had. And so thank you and congratulations.
As usual, I really have none.
Jermaine.
Yes, thank you. So the last few weeks, it seems like it's been just filled with all kinds of good news, good events. I've had the opportunity to, you know, watch our Lady Monarchs and our, you know, both basketball teams, frankly, compete in postseason, wrestling team, both girls and guys. And it's something special about our community is that the community shows up. And unfortunately, I did miss the show choir competition this weekend. I'm sorry, it kind of slipped by, and there was a community concert, or a concert, I believe, that I also missed. But I'm really proud of our community that they show up. And it's not just, it wasn't just the girls' basketball game the community showed up to. It was the wrestling senior night. It was even at the district, when it went to the district, said, the community is there and supporting our kids, and I think that's why our kids are achieving so much. And I just want to say thank you to our members of the community, your parents, and our teachers that are on their off time showing up to these events. I think that's very special. And also had a chance to attend the career day at the high school, and it was nice because I didn't realize, but all three schools, Tri-Academy, all cycled through. And this was also organized by the DECA students. So the DECA students are there taking the registrations. And so this was really a student organized career fair, which is very, very impressive to me. Had a chance to talk to several of the businesses that were there. And of course, when I walked in, the Marine Corps booth had the most students. I think it's because of that pull-up bar. I think everyone went to challenge. And I think that's something that's special. The tables who had something physical, some kind of something to do, had the most attraction. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you're a business owner, if you're looking to how do I engage with our students, you got to bring something hands-on. I think that's something, some kind of experience to the table. I think that's going to move the needle. So really... And with the, I had a chance to talk to some Tri-Academy students, and they made it clear that they love where they're at. They love the space that they're at, and I think that's just something for us to know and have, because that was themselves telling me, we love our environment, we love where we're at, we can focus on what we need to get done, and so that's something I took to heart. Part of OSBA has a book club. Not that we need more things to do, but the book club starting in I think March 20th, but the actual like sessions are going to be in April. And the book is To Lead is to Teach, Stories and Strategies in the Classroom to the Boardroom by Jim Mahoney. I've already read the book. I ordered it a couple, like the first of the month, and I'm already done, but I'm going to go through and again because it's such a great book for me to understand, get some context. Jim Mahoney was a teacher, principal, a superintendent, and then led Battelle Kids in Ohio. So a lot of wealth of knowledge, and it's very practical and easy to read, easy to digest. And so just if you're interested in a book, maybe join that book club. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. And I just want to say thank you to everyone that attended this evening. It's wonderful. Favorite meetings of the year when we get to recognize students and actually Good Apples, which will be next month. People that volunteer their time with the district. We have an amazing district with so many opportunities. So have a good night.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.